God's powerful Savior. Selected passages from the writings of Luke in the New Testament of the Bible. The account of those who were there with Jesus nearly 2,000 years ago. They saw and heard what Jesus said and did. They were there when Jesus died on the cross for our sins and came out of the grave alive, having defeated the power of sin and death to bring us God's salvation. Hear now the words of Jesus himself as he announced the purpose of his ministry. The Lord's Spirit has come to me, because he has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to free everyone who suffers, and to say, "This is the year the Lord has chosen." At that time, God spoke to Zechariah's son, John, who was living in the desert. So John went along the Jordan Valley, telling the people, "Turn back to God and be baptized. Then your sins will be forgiven." Isaiah the prophet wrote about John when he said, "In the desert someone is shouting, 'Get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him. Fill up every valley and level every mountain and hill. Straighten the crooked paths and smooth out the rough roads. Then everyone will see the saving power of God.'" Everyone became excited and wondered, "Could John be the Messiah?" John said, "I am just baptizing with water, but someone more powerful is going to come, and I am not good enough even to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." After everyone else had been baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. Then he prayed. The sky opened up, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove. A voice from heaven said, "You are my own dear son, and I am pleased with you." When Jesus began to preach, he was about 30 years old. When Jesus returned from the Jordan River, the power of the Holy Spirit was with him, and the Spirit led him into the desert. For 40 days, Jesus was tested by the devil, and during that time he went without eating. When it was all over, he was hungry. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are God's son, tell this stone to turn into bread." Jesus answered, "The scriptures say, 'No one can live only on food.'" Then the devil led Jesus up to a high place and quickly showed him all the nations on earth. The devil said, "I will give you all this power and glory to you. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. Just worship me, and you can have it all." Jesus answered, "The scriptures say, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Finally, the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on top of the temple. The devil said, "If you are God's son, jump off. The scriptures say, 'God will tell his angels to take care of you. They will catch you in their arms, and you will not hurt your feet on the stones.'" Jesus answered, "The scriptures also say, 'Don't try to test the Lord your God.'" After the devil had finished testing Jesus in every way possible, he left him for a while. Jesus returned to Galilee with the power of the Spirit, News about him spread everywhere. He taught in the Jewish meeting places, and everyone praised him. Jesus went back to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as usual, he went to the meeting place on the Sabbath. When he stood up to read from the scriptures, he was given the book of Isaiah the prophet. He opened it and read, "The Lord's Spirit has come to me, because he has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to free everyone who suffers, and to say, 'This is the year the Lord has chosen.'" Jesus closed the book, then handed it back to the man in charge and sat down. Everyone in the meeting place looked straight at Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "What you have just heard me read has come true today." One day, some Pharisees and experts in the law of Moses sat listening to Jesus teach. They had come from every village in Galilee and Judea, and from Jerusalem. God had given Jesus the power to heal the sick, and some people came carrying a crippled man on a mat. They tried to take him inside the house and put him in front of Jesus, but because of the crowd, they could not get him to Jesus. So they went up on the roof, where they removed some tiles and let the mat down in the middle of the room. When Jesus saw how much faith they had, he said to the crippled man, "My friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the experts began arguing, "Jesus must think he is God. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said, "Why are you thinking that? Is it easier for me to tell this crippled man that his sins are forgiven, or to tell him to get up and walk? But now you will see that the Son of Man has the right to forgive sins here on earth." Jesus then said to the man, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk home." At once the man stood up in front of everyone. He picked up his mat and went home, giving thanks to God. Everyone was amazed and praised God. What they saw surprised them, and they said, "We have seen a great miracle today." About that time, Jesus went off to a mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night there. The next morning, he called his disciples together and chose 12 of them to be his apostles. One was Simon, and Jesus named him Peter. Another was Andrew, Peter's brother. There were also James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus. The rest of the apostles were Simon, known as the Eager One, Jude, who was the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed Jesus. Jesus and his apostles went down from the mountain and came to some flat, level ground. Many other disciples were there to meet him. Large crowds of people from all over Judea, Jerusalem, and the coastal cities of Tyre and Sidon were there too. These people had come to listen to Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. All who were troubled by evil spirits were also healed. Everyone was trying to touch Jesus, because power was going out from him and healing them all. When a large crowd from several towns had gathered around Jesus, he told them this story. A farmer went out to scatter seed in a field. While the farmer was doing it, some of the seeds fell along the road and were stepped on or eaten by birds. Other seeds fell on rocky ground and started growing, but the plants did not have enough water and soon dried up. Some other seeds fell where thorn bushes grew up and choked the plants. The rest of the seeds fell on good ground, where they grew and produced 100 times as many seeds. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said, If you have ears, pay attention. Jesus' disciples asked him what the story meant. So he answered, I have explained the secrets about God's kingdom to you, but for others, I can only use stories. These people look, but they don't see, and they hear, but they don't understand. This is what the story means. The seed is God's message, and the seeds that fell along the road are the people who hear the message. But the devil comes and snatches the message out of their hearts, so that they will not believe and be saved. The seed that fell on rocky ground are the people who gladly hear the message and accept it, but they don't have deep roots, and they believe only for a little while. As soon as life gets hard, they give up. The seed that fell among the thorn bushes are also people who hear the message, but they are so eager for riches and pleasure that they never produce anything. Those seeds that fell on good ground are the people who listen to the message and keep it in good and honest hearts. They last and produce a harvest. One day, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said, Let's cross the lake. They started out, and while they were sailing across, he went to sleep. Suddenly a windstorm struck the lake, and the boat started sinking. They were in danger, so they went to Jesus and woke him up. Master, Master, we are about to drown. Jesus got up and ordered the wind and waves to stop. They obeyed, and everything was calm. Then Jesus asked the disciples, Don't you have any faith? But they were frightened and amazed. They said to each other, Who is this? He can give orders to the wind and the waves, and they obey him. When Jesus was alone praying, his disciples came to him, and he asked them, What do people say about me? They answered, Some say that you are John the Baptist, or Elijah, or a prophet from long ago who has come back to life. Jesus then asked them, But who do you say I am? Peter answered, You are the Messiah sent from God. Jesus strictly warned his disciples not to tell anyone what had happened. Jesus told his disciples, The nation's leaders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law of Moses will make the Son of Man suffer terribly. They will reject him and kill him. But 3 days later he will rise to life. Then Jesus said to all the people, If any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross each day and follow me. If you want to save your life, you will destroy it. But if you give up your life for me, you will save it. What will you gain if you own the whole world but destroy yourself or waste your life? If you are ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his glory and in the glory of his Father, and the holy angels. About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on a mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed, and his clothes became shining white. Suddenly Moses and Elijah were there speaking with him. They appeared in heavenly glory and talked about all that Jesus' death in Jerusalem would mean. Peter and the other two disciples had been sound asleep. All at once they woke up and saw how glorious Jesus was. They also saw the two men who were with him. Moses and Elijah were about to leave when Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But Peter did not know what he was talking about. While Peter was still speaking, a shadow from a cloud passed over them, and they were frightened as the cloud covered them. From the cloud, a voice spoke, This is my chosen son. Listen to what he says. After the voice had spoken, Peter, John, and James saw only Jesus. For For some time they kept quiet and did not say anything about what they had seen. Tax collectors and sinners were all crowding around to listen to Jesus. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses started grumbling. "This man is friendly with sinners. He even eats with them." Then Jesus told them this story. "If any of you has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will you do? Won't you leave the 99 in the field and go look for the lost sheep until you find it? And when you find it, you will be so glad that you will put it on your shoulders and carry it home. Then you will call in your friends and neighbors and say, 'Let's celebrate, I've found my lost sheep.'" Jesus said, "In the same way, there is more happiness in heaven because of one sinner who turns to God than over 99 good people who don't need to." Jesus took the 12 apostles aside and said, "We are now on our way to Jerusalem. Everything that the prophets wrote about the Son of Man will happen there. He will be handed over to foreigners, who will make fun of him, mistreat him, and spit on him. They will beat him and kill him, but 3 days later he will rise to life." The apostles did not understand what Jesus was talking about. They could not understand, because the meaning of what he said was hidden from them. As he was getting near to Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples on ahead. He told them, "Go into the next village, where you will find a young donkey that has never been ridden. Untie the donkey and bring it here. If anyone asks why you are doing that, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Then they led the donkey to Jesus. They put some of their clothes on its back and helped Jesus get on. And as he rode along, the people spread clothes on the road in front of him. When Jesus was starting down the Mount of Olives, his large crowd of disciples were happy and praised God because of all the miracles they had seen. They shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, make your disciples stop shouting." But Jesus answered, "If they keep quiet, these stones will start shouting." When Jesus came closer and could see Jerusalem, he cried and said, "It is too bad that today your people don't know what will bring them peace. Now it is hidden from them. Jerusalem, the time will come when your enemies will build walls around you to attack you. Armies will surround you and close in on you from every side. They will level you to the ground and kill your people. Not one stone in your buildings will be left on top of another. This will happen because you did not see that God had come to save you." When Jesus entered the temple, he started chasing out the people who were selling things. He told them, "The scriptures say my house should be a place of worship, but you have made it a place where robbers hide." Each day, Jesus kept on teaching in the temple. So the chief priests, the teachers of the law of Moses, and some other important people tried to have him killed, but they could not find a way to do it, because everyone else was eager to listen to him.
Please turn the tape over and continue listening on side B.
The Feast of Thin Bread, also called Passover, was near. The chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses were looking for a way to get rid of Jesus, because they were afraid of what the people might do. Then Satan entered the heart of Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 apostles. Judas went to talk with the chief priests and the officers of the temple police about how he could help them arrest Jesus. They were very pleased and offered to pay Judas some money. He agreed and started looking for a good chance to betray Jesus when the crowds were not around. Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives, as he often did, and his disciples went with him. When they were there, he told them, "Pray that you will not be tested." Jesus walked on a little way before. He kneeled down and prayed, "Father, if you will, please don't make me suffer by having me drink from this cup. But do what you want, and not what I want." Then an angel from heaven came to help him. Jesus was in great pain and prayed so sincerely that his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood. Jesus got up from praying and went over to his disciples. They were asleep and worn out from being so sad. He said to them, "Why are you asleep? Wake up and pray that you will not be tested." While Jesus was still speaking, a crowd came up. It was led by Judas, one of the 12 apostles. He went over to Jesus and greeted him with a kiss. Jesus asked Judas, "Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' disciples saw what was about to happen, they asked, "Lord, should we attack them with a sword?" One of the disciples even struck at the high priest's servant with his sword and cut off the servant's right ear. "Enough of that," Jesus said. Then he touched the servant's ear and healed it. Jesus spoke to the chief priests, the temple police, and the leaders who had come to arrest him. He said, "Why do you come out with swords and clubs and treat me like a criminal? I was with you every day in the temple, and you didn't arrest me. But this is your time, and darkness is in control." Jesus was arrested and led away to the house of the high priest. The men who were guarding Jesus made fun of him and beat him. They put a blindfold on him and said, "Tell us who struck you." They kept on insulting Jesus in many other ways. At daybreak, the nation's leaders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law of Moses got together and brought Jesus before their council. They said, "Tell us, are you the Messiah?" Jesus replied, "If I said so, you wouldn't believe me. And if I asked you a question, you wouldn't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right side of God All-Powerful." Then they asked, "Are you the Son of God?" Jesus answered, "You say I am." They replied, "Why do we need more witnesses? He said it himself." Everyone in the council got up and led Jesus off to Pilate. They started accusing him and said, "We caught this man trying to get our people to riot and stop paying taxes to the emperor. He also claims that he is the Messiah, our king." Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Those are your words," Jesus answered. Pilate told the chief priests and the crowd, "I don't find him guilty of anything." But they all kept on saying, "He has been teaching and causing trouble all over Judea. He started in Galilee and has now come all the way here." When Pilate heard this, He asked, "Is this man from Galilee?" After Pilate learned that Jesus came from the region ruled by Herod, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. For a long time, Herod wanted to see Jesus, and was very happy because he finally had this chance. He had heard many things about Jesus, and he hoped to see him work a miracle. Herod asked him a lot of questions, but Jesus did not answer. Then the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses stood up and accused him of all kinds of bad things. Herod and his soldiers made fun of Jesus and insulted him. They put a fine robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends, even though they had been enemies before this. Pilate called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people. He told them, "You brought Jesus to me and said he was a troublemaker. But I have questioned him here in front of you and have not found him guilty of anything that you say he has done." Herod didn't find him guilty either and sent him back. "This man doesn't deserve to be put to death. I will just have him beaten with a whip and set free." But the whole crowd shouted, "Kill Jesus! Give us Barabbas!" Now Barabbas was in jail because he had started a riot in the city and had murdered someone. Pilate wanted to set Jesus free. So he spoke again to the crowds, but they kept shouting, "Nail him to a cross! Nail him to a cross!" Pilate spoke to them a third time, "But what crime has he done? I have not found him guilty of anything for which he should be put to death. I will have him beaten with a whip and set free." The people kept on shouting as loud as they could for Jesus to be put to death. Finally, Pilate gave in. He freed the man who was in jail for rioting and murder, because he was the one the crowd wanted to be set free. Then Pilate handed Jesus over for them to do what they wanted with him. Two criminals were led out to be put to death with Jesus. When the soldiers came to the place called the Skull, they nailed Jesus to a cross. They also nailed the two criminals to crosses, one on each side of Jesus. Jesus said, "Father, forgive these people. They don't know what they're doing." While the crowd stood there watching Jesus, the soldiers gambled for his clothes. The leaders insulted him by saying, "He saved others. Now he should save himself, if he really is God's chosen Messiah." The soldiers made fun of Jesus and brought him some wine. They said, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." Above him was a sign that said, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there also insulted Jesus by saying, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us." But the other criminal told the first one off, "Don't you fear God? Aren't you getting the same punishment as this man? We got what was coming to us, but he didn't do anything wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into power." Jesus replied, "I promise that today you will be with me in paradise." Around noon, the sky turned dark and stayed that way until the middle of the afternoon. The sun stopped shining, and the curtain in the temple split down the middle. Jesus shouted, "Father, I put myself in your hands." Then he died. When the Roman officer saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Jesus must really have been a good man." A crowd had gathered to see the terrible sight. After they saw it, they felt brokenhearted and went home. All of Jesus' close friends and the women who had come with him from Galilee stood at a distance and watched. There was a man named Joseph, who was from Arimathea in Judea. Joseph was a good and honest man, and he was eager for God's kingdom to come. He was also a member of the Jewish council, but he did not agree with what they had decided. Joseph went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. He took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a fine cloth. Then he put it in a tomb that had been cut out of solid rock and had never been used. It was Friday, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and watched how Jesus' body was placed in the tomb. Then they went to prepare some sweet-smelling spices for his burial. But on the Sabbath they rested, as the law of Moses commands. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, carrying the spices that they had prepared. When they found the stone rolled away from the entrance, they went in. But they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, and they did not know what to think. Suddenly two men in shining white robes stood beside them. The women were afraid and bowed to the ground. But the men said, "Why are you looking in the place of the dead for someone who is alive? Jesus is not here. He has been raised from death. Remember that while he was still in Galilee, he told you, 'The Son of Man will be handed over to sinners who will nail him to a cross, but 3 days later he will rise to life.'" Then they remembered what Jesus had said. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some other women were the ones who had gone to the tomb. When they returned, they told the 11 apostles and the others what had happened. The apostles thought it was all nonsense, and they would not believe. But Peter ran to the tomb, and when he stooped down and looked in, he saw only the burial clothes. Then he returned, wondering what had happened. For 40 days after Jesus had suffered and died, he proved in many ways that he had been raised from death. He appeared to his apostles and spoke to them about God's kingdom. While he was still with them, he said, "Don't leave Jerusalem yet. Wait here for the Father to give you the Holy Spirit, just as I told you he has promised to do. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." While the apostles were still with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, are you now going to give Israel its own king again?" Jesus said to them, "You don't need to know the time of those events that only the Father controls, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and everywhere in the world." After Jesus had said this, and while they were watching, he was taken up into a cloud. They could not see him, but as he went up, they kept looking up into the sky. Suddenly, two men dressed in white clothes were standing there beside them. They said, "Why are you men from Galilee standing here and looking up into the sky? Jesus has been taken to heaven, but he will come back in the same way that you have seen him go." When the promised Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, they began fearlessly to proclaim the meaning of Jesus' death and resurrection. Listen to part of what Peter said at that time. "Everyone in Israel should know for certain that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, even though you put him to death on a cross. When the people heard this, they were very upset. They asked Peter and the other apostles, "Friends, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Turn back to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven. Then you will be given the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. It is for everyone our Lord will choose, no matter where they live." Luke tells us about many other exciting and important things that Jesus did and taught, but the tape limits what we can include. These passages were selected to show us how Jesus has power over Satan, sin, and death to bring us God's salvation. In the Gospel written by John in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the significance of what God did through this Jesus about whom Luke tells us is summarized in these momentous words. "God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never die. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn its people. He sent him to save them." In another New Testament book, Paul's letter to the church in Rome, we are told how we may be saved and put right with God by committing ourselves to Jesus Christ, God's powerful Savior. "So you will be saved if you say that God raised Jesus Christ from death. And if you believe this with all your heart, God will accept you and save you if you truly believe this and tell it to others."